today on It's Time.
I pray today you have a father-child relationship with your God.
I hear the calling, it's time.
Welcome to It's Time, the daily Bible teaching program of Mike Kessler, pastor of the River Christian Fellowship in Twin Falls, Idaho. Today, we're going verse by verse through the book of Titus. So, follow along in your Bible as we join Pastor Mike.
It's time these wounds to heal.
That means he's got it under control. We rest in him. And so it says, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. Now again, Paul clearly identifies him as Savior, identifies him as Lord, so we know that Jesus is God. Verse 5, for this reason I left you in Crete. Oh, I left you in the town of debauchery, is what he left him in. Now, we're going to get in how bad it was. We're going to actually, it's recorded in the Bible here for us in a few more verses, how much of a town this really was. In this island of Crete, where everybody had so corrupted themselves, it was now part of their normal behavior. Everybody expected you, if you were from the island of Crete, to be a liar, to be greedy, to be lazy. It was just part of their culture. Have you noticed our culture? Sometimes some of the things that we see in it, and you go, how in the world does this translate into normal society? Well, this is because we've moved away. You know, it's funny, you watch these old movies like It's a Wonderful Life. I don't know how many people have ever seen that with Jimmy Stewart. I don't know how many people have ever seen that. And you see the America that was right after the Second World War. Everybody helped everybody. Everybody wasn't on the cell phone. Everybody had an interest in one another, trying to help one another through. And it's because I think a lot of the America wasn't quite so affluent as it is now. And so people relied more on one another. And you see that America that once was. It's a way a lot in Idaho here in the 50s was very similar to that. Just everybody kind of knew everybody. Everybody kind of relied on one another. And now we find a completely different society. Well, Crete was like that. Crete had morphed into just basically everybody living for themselves in total selfishness. And he said, for this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you. By the way, elders are people who see the gospel the way you do. And by the way, when you pick your friends, and maybe this might be a good New Year's resolution, pick friends that love God like you do, because they're going to encourage you when things get rough. They're not going to say, well, let's go get loaded. And then you come back after being stoned and you wake up either in jail or your wrecked car or your problems now have compounded and they're even worse. So again, elders are people that he put in charge. And by the way, he said to appoint elders. He didn't say vote for elders. So if you end up going to a different church than this one sometimes and they pass out a ballot to vote for elders, that's not really a scriptural way of picking elders. You pick them according to the fruit in their life, what they've done. The Bible says by their fruit you know them. Not even by their mistakes you know them. Oh, they're bad because they made mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes, friends. But by their fruit you know them. Look at the fruit in their life. Is it real? Has it been stolen from somebody else? If it's been stolen from somebody else, you got to reject that. But by their fruit you know them. And so Paul says to Titus, go now and appoint elders that will help you get things in order in this city. Now, this is what you need to look for, he says in verse 6. If a man is blameless, husband of one wife, that means not a polygamist, and polygamy was rampant in those days. It was rampant pretty much through the Old Testament as well. It isn't that God ever foreordained it to be that way. whether you look at King David or Solomon or even the patriarchs, Jacob and all those, you don't see that being condoned by God. The Bible simply just reports on it. But he says that he should be a husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of dissipation or insubordination or being just basically being riotous type kids, because it just doesn't carry well in the church. If a man is blameless, again, that's what you want to look for. Somebody that's not. And by the way, I think this is just good outline for picking friends. This is what you want to look for as well. For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, not self-willed, not quick-tempered, not given to wine, nor violent, nor greedy for money, but hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, and self-controlled. In other words, he's got it together. It isn't somebody that's flying off the handle when something goes wrong. He isn't always looking at people of what I can get out of them and taking advantage of them because they're greedy. But he's there to give. He's there to help. He's there to minister. And by the way, friends, when you go through a trial in your life, those are the kind of friends you want to have. Because if you only have friends that are on the take all the time, it's really sad. One time I had a rental. By the time everything got done with that rental, I actually tore it down. It was so bad. So if you're ever thinking about going into the rental business, I know some of you are really good at it. We have some people in our church like that. I was not a good person. I wasn't a good judge of character back in those days. And so anyway, but I remember this guy that I had rented to, and he told me this. He says, "You know what?" I said, "What?" And he was always late on his rant. And he says, "There's two kinds of people in the world." And I said, "Well, yeah, basically saved and unsaved." And he goes, "No, there's givers and takers. And I'm a taker." And I went, "Nah." I said, "Well, you ain't taking from me no more." See, the problem is, there's people who have an eye and they're self-focused. And there's people who have an eye that are focused upon Christ. Here's the thing. When you're focused on yourself, it's all about me. When you're focused on Christ, it's all about Him. The Bible says He'll supply all my needs according to His riches and glory. So now I can just let God funnel His glory, His provision through His love into me, where a person that is not saved, what they do, it's all about me, and I'm just taking whatever I can grab. That's why you want to be careful of the friends you pick, because it'll make a difference in your life. And so He says, self-controlled, holding fast the faithful word which has been taught, that he might be able by sound doctrine to both exhort, and that means to build up, and to convince those who contradict. For there are many insubordinate, both idle talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision. He's saying, you know, the circumcision is speaking of basically the old Judaizers that were following the law. And here's the danger about people that get into, in fact, there's a lot of revamped Judaism that's going on, that's trying to creep into the church. Well, we're going back and we're keeping the Jewish festivals now and we're doing this. Listen, if you want to do that, great. But here's the thing. It adds zero to your spirituality. Your spirituality, my spirituality, comes through Jesus Christ. It never comes through any physical thing that I do. No hoop jumping I do, no joining of any church that I do, no going door to door that I do, no selling flowers in airports that I do, no waxing dogs will do. Nothing adds to your spirituality other than Jesus Christ. It's interesting sometimes. I think it's kind of interesting to look at the idea of how many of the Old Testament feasts were fulfilled in Jesus Christ and what they went through, how they would look through the entire house at Passover for anything that had leaven in it. Well, that's true. Jesus was our Passover, and there was no leaven in him. Leaven being sin, there was no leaven in him. I think it's interesting. But by keeping the Passover doesn't make you, me, anyone any more spiritual than if you don't. Our spirituality comes through Jesus Christ, faith in him. Always remember that. Because again, these people have crept in. Notice it says they're talkers and deceivers. What does the deceiver do? It says, Jesus didn't pay it all for you. Now you got to get out there, do a bunch of religious things and earn it. That's the deception that goes on in the Christian and in the non-Christian world today. That's how cults thrive. By getting their people, rather trying to get their people to earn what Jesus Christ has already given them. And I always am amazed, and I can always tell, because when I'll talk to somebody and I can tell whether they're into religion or into Jesus. There's a big difference. First, a relationship with God is whereby we cry, Abba, Father. They have a daddy relationship. I like that. Jesus said, when you pray, pray like this, our Father which art in heaven. Not a mindless prayer to be repeated over and over and over again. In some way, as Jesus said, they think they're going to be heard by their much speaking. But really, when you realize Jesus is giving us the blueprint, when you pray, pray like you're talking to your dad, our Father which art in heaven. Hey, that makes me a child. I can have a personal relationship with God, not predicated on anything else. And if any of you have children here, you know how that is. They just come to you. They don't come to you, but, well, Dad, I did this and this and this. Am I worthy of your love? They don't care. They just come up, Daddy. I like that. That's one of the things you can spot. But people in religion are approaching God in their own works. Look what I've done. I'm as better than the person next door. I haven't done what the person next door has done. They always have. And so there's two groups of people when we deal with spirituality. Those approaching God on their own. And this can go from anything that even wears the name of Christ and has a cross on the building to, as crazy as you want to get, into Middle Eastern religions or anything else. You can always tell. You can always ask a question. If you died today, would you go to heaven? People in a religion will say, I've done the best I can. A person who knows Christ will say, yes. Why? Because I go to heaven not because I'm good, but because he's good and his righteousness has clothed me. That's a big difference. See, that's what the Bible talks about, the assurance of salvation. People say, well, I've done the best I can. Well, what if you get to heaven and you didn't do enough? Well, there's no assurance of salvation there. You're weighed in the balance and found a lightweight. You're not going to make it. So we have to have something better than ourselves to assure us into eternity. And that's what Jesus said. I call you my children. I like that. I pray today you have a father-child relationship with your God. Not, God, look what I am doing. Am I good enough? Because if you do, you'll never, ever be able. This is what the law, the Old Testament, the Ten Commandments, and the Torah spelled out. God's ultimate standard, which man could never reach. Never works. Why? Because God's standard is so far higher than we're even capable of. But then Jesus came and made up the difference. That's what you need today. That's where our salvation lies. And so he says, talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision, whose mouth must be stopped. How do you stop somebody from telling a lie? You tell them the truth. And you go and you know well enough what you believe to counteract the lie. We never approach God through our works. We approach God the Father through Jesus Christ. So important. Who subvert whole households, teaching things which they should not, for the sake of dishonest gain. I don't know whether they look at people as nickels and noses. I don't know what they do, but I'll tell you, friends, the problem is that you're too precious to God. You're his children, and you need to live like that. In this new year, you don't want to live like the world. You want to live like somebody that belongs to him. Notice he says, One of them, a prophet of their own. Now, I think this is interesting because I've had people say, well, the book of Enoch is quoted in the Bible. And by the way, it isn't. It says Enoch said in the book of Jude. Doesn't say that it was the book of Enoch. It just say it was a saying that was said, that the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints. Therefore, this book of Enoch that's been floating around should be canonized. No, not necessarily. Well, just because the Bible mentions something doesn't mean that it's all truth. But one of the things you find here, one of them, a prophet of their own, said, Cretans are always liar, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons. Even their own said that. Hey, you know, we're partiers, and that's what we are. That's what basically Paul is writing to Titus, saying that this is the problem. And this testimony is true. Paul goes on to say, therefore, rebuke them sharply that they may be sound in faith. Now, here's weird. That they may be sound in faith. In other words, the culture of Crete crept into the church and it was influencing the way they were viewing God. It's like being where they, it's like being where something is always accepted. It comes into the church and now the church must accept it as being normal. Enter the LGBT thing. Enter the transgender thing. Well, it's all over in our society, therefore it's not wrong anymore. This is what a lot of churches have gone down this bad bunny trail, because what they're saying is that now the culture has influenced the church rather than the church influencing the culture. And so he says, be careful of this. This is bad because, again, they have crept in. That they may be sound, he said, their testimony is true, therefore rebuke them sharply. Not giving heed to Jewish fables, commandments of men who turn from the truth. To the pure, all things are pure. But to those who are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. But even their mind and conscience are defiled. Now here's why. Because they didn't get God's word in them to the point where we say, you know, I don't care if everybody's doing it, it's still wrong. And again, friends, that's the thing. Now, does God love people who do things wrong? Yes. Yes, he does. And again, God loves us in spite of our failures. But he loves us too much to leave us that way, and he will call us out. If you feel this year, God will call you out of things not good for you, and call you into things that are good for you, that's what you want. I have found New Year's resolutions last about as long as a bowl of Doritos at a Super Bowl game. They go fast. You forget them. Usually by the second week of, I was going to say June, but no. Usually by the second week of January, our New Year's resolutions are gone. We're back to what we were. Hey, I'll deal with it next year. Okay, I'm going to go on a diet. How many people have said that during Thanksgiving, during Christmas holidays, during the first? Hey, you know what? After this is all over, I'm going on a diet. What's the old saying? You can always tell when a guy's on the level when his bubble's in the middle. Well, again, we do that. We're procrastinators by nature. And so God says, no, don't let the world influence you. You influence the world. And he goes on and he says, even their mind and their conscience are defiled. Why is that? Because they have accepted the status quo of the world rather than God overriding those things. They profess to know God, but in their works they deny him, being abominable, disobedient, and disqualified. This word for disqualified is the same word you would use to describe counterfeit money. It has an image of something real, but there's nothing substantial behind it. And so they're disqualified for every good work. Why? Because they mix the world into what they're doing this morning. I pray you have a relationship with God. That's what you're going to need in the new year. It's what's going to sustain you, and it's going to establish you in the days to come. If we allow ourselves to be tainted by the world will affect us, and we'll become non-effective in what we're doing. And I believe that's one of the reasons why in the world we have to be very careful. And even in the church today, we have to be very careful, because churches now are ordaining homosexual ministers. The Bible says it's wrong. I didn't write the book. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Read Romans chapter 1. New Testament, after Jesus rose from the dead, after he ascended into heaven, Romans chapter 1, God still says it's wrong. Well, the thing is that the Cretans have invaded. They're here. And see, we have to be careful because, in other words, because we have been called to a different understanding of life. This book is how God's going to judge the world someday. And so, friends, you want to know what God's word has to say about everything. And see, here's the other thing. You were designed to operate within the parameters of this work. And if we don't, we're going to find things not right. Do you want another year like you just had? Or would you like to say, okay, God, those things that I've been wrestling with, those things I know have been wrong in my life, I'm going to set them aside. I want to do it your way from now on. I'm going to let you have your perfect way. And you know what's going to happen? Your heart's going to be settled. Your heart's going to be refreshed. Your heart's going to be born again. Why is that? Because you say, I'm going to do it your way, God. I'm not going to do it my way anymore. I'm going to do it your way. But you can't do it by yourself. It takes the power and the Spirit of God in you to do that. The Bible said it's not within man to live righteously. Isn't that a weird verse? It's, you look at your kids, can't you just be good? Nope. That's true. But God can do something in us. You need that today. You need the power of God in your life. If you're a Christian, you need to be filled afresh anew with His Holy Spirit. If you're not a Christian, you need to turn your life over to Him, because you're buying into the lie of the world, and that lie will destroy you, because the world is contrary to the heart of God. This morning, the Bible says Jesus died on the cross. It's His righteousness that gets us into heaven, friends. Not anything I did. The only thing I ever did was just say, okay, Lord, give me what you got. And God says, here you go. And we got that. That's why I get to go to heaven. Because I'm good? No, nope. Because He's good. But I'm found in Him. I want to be good like Jesus is. I want to have my Father's eyes. I want to be about my Father's business. But until I allow Him to take over my life. And this is why Jesus said to Nicodemus, John chapter 3, unless a man's born again, he'll not see the kingdom of God. You need to be born anew. Just as you were born the first time the water broke, as Jesus said, a man born of the water, then you need to be born of the Spirit, that supernatural work of God that comes. If you've never prayed and accepted Christ as your Savior, that's where it starts. If you are a Christian, I just want to encourage you, pray and say, Lord, Holy Spirit, empower me to make the right decisions, to reject evil. Don't let the Cretans invade me, but Father, let me reach out to them and change them. We're going to pray, and you can pray and ask the Lord into your life right now. You don't have to live another day like you've lived. Let's pray. Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I invite you into my life today. Lord, I have seen how the world wants to influence what I think and the way I live. And I don't want that anymore. I want to live the way you've called me to live. Trusting you for everything. And so I believe Jesus died on the cross for me. His blood took away my sins. And now I can be your child. Speak to me every day. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. And God, allow me to be that person that you're proud of. Your kid, God. And Father, from this day forward, I want to live for you. Thank you for eternal life. Write my name now in your book of life. In Jesus' name, amen. You prayed that. Welcome to God's family.
Thanks for joining us on It's Time, as Pastor Mike teaches verse by verse through the Bible. If you've missed a program or would like to catch up, You can do so by getting it from the It's Time podcast in the iTunes store or by downloading it from the It's Time website at theriverchristianfellowship.com. On behalf of Pastor Mike and the rest of us here at the River Christian Fellowship, thanks for listening and tune in next time for It's Time.